One of the angles of the opioid epidemic we don't often hear about is what happens to the bodies. West Virginia Public Broadcasting takes a look at one group under strain, the state's forensic pathologists who are charged with performing autopsies. Opioid-related overdose deaths have doubled in recent years in West Virginia. The latest data from the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources shows that in 2017, there were nearly 900 opioid-related overdose deaths, while in 2012, there were nearly 500. Anytime someone dies of a suspected overdose in West Virginia, an autopsy is required, and these are performed in Charleston by a state medical examiner, also called a forensic pathologist.
The impact of the substance use epidemic has really been on the caseload.
That's Dr. Catherine Slemp, the state health officer and commissioner for the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources Bureau for Public Health.
And so it really has changed operations in terms of the number of cases that our forensic pathologists are handling and the staff that are part of that. And it has changed, for example, we are doing autopsies sometimes 6 to 7 days a week.
In 2012, there were more than 4,000 autopsies done in West Virginia. But compared to last year's cases, that number has almost doubled. And Slemp says 70% of all autopsies performed by a forensic pathologist are substance use related. That could be drugs or alcohol. There are only 3 full-time forensic pathologists in West Virginia and 5 vacancies. In an effort to fill those positions, the West Virginia legislature recently approved an increase in the wages for forensic pathologists from $180,000 a year to $255,000 a year. That change went into effect on July 1st. But even with a higher salary, it's not easy to recruit qualified candidates.
This is an area that there's only about 20, 25 individuals that come out of training every year. And yet there are probably 40 or 50 vacancies at any one time.
Slemp says that's because forensic pathologists have to go through medical school and do a residency in pathology. They must also take part in an ongoing fellowship in that field. It's about 16 years of training.
They're very special and unique individuals. They have a passion for what they do. They believe in what they do.
That's Matthew Izzo, director of the West Virginia Office of the Chief Medical Examiner. This is the office that houses the state's forensic pathologists. When asked if a forensic pathologist could be interviewed, Izzo and Slemp said,
highly unlikely. They're
doing autopsies.
They're doing autopsies 6 days a week. The court systems have them traveling when they're not doing autopsies.
And it's unlikely to get easier. In addition to an ever-increasing workload, both Izzo and Slemp claim about 30 to 40% of working forensic pathologists in the United States today are nearing retirement age. We're now going to hear another story with an in-depth focus on one community's efforts to efficiently transport the dead. When someone passes away unexpectedly, we don't often realize the chain of events that happens behind the scenes to safely transport the bodies. Add the increase in premature deaths from the opioid epidemic to this, and it gets more complicated. About 5 or 6 years ago, Jefferson County emergency officials noticed an uptick in call volume for deceased persons, and it was an adjustment period for officials as they learned to navigate the issue in a new way.
So emergency medical services and the medical examiner and all, they can park over here. They can back right up to either of these doors, usually this one.
The one out here on the left.
Alan Norton is a co-owner here at Eccles Spencer and Norton Funeral Home in Harpers Ferry, Jefferson County. He opens a garage door on the far side of the building, and inside there's a parked hearse, an empty coffin, and some foldable chairs stacked neatly against the wall. There's also a morgue cooler that can hold up to 3 bodies, and at the end of the room, there's a pair of locked doors marked restricted area. The room beyond those doors provides a space for both Jefferson County emergency officials and the local county medical examiner to temporarily store a body until certain decisions are made.
What we've tried to do is make a place, provide a place for the staging area and the stopping point in between.
Jefferson County is so small that it doesn't have a county morgue. And about 5 or 6 years ago, that became a problem as local officials began to see an increase in calls for deceased persons, while at the same time, they were struggling with staff shortages and they lost the location the dead would normally be taken, the local hospital. Bob Berner is the operations commander for the Jefferson County Emergency Services Agency.
So we contacted the state medical examiner and said, you know, listen, we now no longer have a place to take these folks, and this really isn't an EMS thing anyway. Once a person is deceased, it's not, there's nothing in our skill set to help them. It's a medical examiner, health department kind of an issue.
For a long time, when someone died in Jefferson County unexpectedly and had no prior death arrangements, people like Berner would come to the scene, attempt to save the person, and if the person was truly dead, a local medical examiner would be called and the body would be transported via ambulance to the local hospital's morgue until certain decisions were made. But as more calls started coming in, the local hospital said they could no longer transport or provide space for the bodies due to limited room and safety concerns. For instance, it takes a long time to disinfect an ambulance after transporting a dead person, 1 to 2 hours at least, and that can tie up calls where that ambulance is needed to serve the living.
It's not really appropriate to transport deceased folks who may have unknown pathologies in an ambulance where 20 minutes later you'll be transporting a newborn or an elderly person with a compromised immune system.
Berner says the hospital's decision to pull back put his agency in a real bind, but he says he understood the reasoning. So Norton's Funeral Home, the Jefferson County Emergency Services Agency, and the local medical examiner all formed a unique partnership to address the uptick in call volume and provide transport for the deceased. Again, Alan Norton.
They can come on into our building, use our prep room, and we made a place for them to put their cooler so we can give them the space and the access and the electricity so that Jefferson County can have a staging area and or morgue in transition while these bodies are getting to where they need to be.
And the funeral home provides this service for free. The Jefferson County Commission also joined this partnership and provided Berner and his agency $20,000 to purchase a van to transport a body to the funeral home. If it's a case that necessitates an autopsy, such as death by an overdose or foul play, Berner's team works with the state medical examiner's office in Charleston and the local ME to contract a local fire department to transport the dead, first to Norton's funeral home and then to Charleston for a full autopsy. It's a lot of moving pieces. And Berner notes it's usually a slow process that can take several hours from first arriving on scene, determining whether it's a medical examiner case, and then transporting the body. Berner says he and other Jefferson County officials may have figured out a working system to transport the increase in deceased, but he hopes the West Virginia legislature looks at the issue and drafts legislation to clearly define what entity should be responsible for transporting the dead. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Jefferson County.